What's up, ODs and eyewear lovers? We're talking the latest trends in tech and eye care, so sit back, relax, and defocus.
Well, hello, and welcome to the Defocus Media Podcast. I'm Jennifer Lyerly, and today we are talking with a current optometry school student, because the truth of the matter is, both Daryl and I, while we're still considered young optometrists, we're getting towards the top end of that. It's been 8 years since we graduated from optometry school, and things have changed a lot. Following people on social media, I realized that more than ever. My school experience, if someone was asking me about choosing optometry as a career and what school is like, probably not really all that relatable to what optometry school is like these days. So joining me is someone who is taking on the mission of sharing her optometry school experience with the world through the power of Instagram. Please welcome to the show, Megan Sales.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
So Megan, we always start the show a little bit similar and asking people, just tell us a little bit about yourself and why you chose optometry.
Sure. So I always really liked like my science courses, my math courses in school, and I majored in biology for undergrad, but I just didn't know exactly what I wanted to do with that for kind of like what seemed like the longest time. And I looked into physical therapy and PA schools, and I even shadowed a few physical therapists, but I just didn't feel like I connected with it. Like, I didn't feel like it was for me, which they're both great careers, but I just didn't personally see myself doing either of them. And my optometrist actually asked me one day just at my own eye appointment, he's like, so what are you doing after school? And I still didn't know. And he's like, well, have you considered optometry? And I truly hadn't. And he kind of just told me a little bit about it. And he's like, come in and shadow me and see what it's all about. And I did. And I just loved it. Like, my first day of shadowing, I think I drove home with a smile on my face. And it's not even that I did that much. Like, I was working with the lensometer and I was just kind of greeting patients. But just the whole atmosphere of it was really cool, and the passion that my personal optometrist had was just so obvious, and I just I wanted to follow in his footsteps. I thought it was a really cool profession.
That's great. So how much shadowing did you do before going into school?
So probably a couple days a week for my full summer before school started. I was maybe going in Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I don't even want to say for full days, maybe like half days. So it wasn't too much. And I think we needed a certain amount of hours of shadowing prior to school. So I was over that. But I was still, I think I was working at the time as well. So I was kind of doing both.
And that's something that I will say that's new. When I was going, you know, applying to optometry school, there was no requirement on shadowing. So I think that's really great that they have that now, because you really know what the career is, you know what you're getting into.
Yeah.
And the students I found that hadn't had that experience were sometimes not sure that they had made the right decision with their career after that first year. So
right.
You knew what you were going for.
Yeah. I think that's almost something I regret, is just not actually working. Like, I really enjoyed shadowing, but I almost wish I would have had a job in an optometrist's office, actually, just because you just get so much more experience, and it kind of gives you a head start when you get to school.
Absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about school. You're a student at Midwestern University right now, graduating the class of 2021. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
How did you decide upon which optometry school you wanted to attend?
So I'm actually from a Chicago suburb, so I'm kind of from around here. And that is something I was keeping in mind when I was looking at schools, is I kind of wanted to find something close to home, because optometry school is a huge commitment and you're very busy. It's hard to make time for family and friends, so I wanted to be close enough to the point where if I had a break, I could, you know, drive home and say hello and just kind of catch up with everybody. So I was looking at schools in the area, and when I went to my interview day for Midwestern, I just instantly fell in love, which I know kind of sounds like corny, but it's true. This is a new program. I'm part of the inaugural class here. So everything was brand new. All the professors and the doctors were so passionate about this program here, and it was very obvious that they wanted it to be something amazing. I was just kind of sold on it.
That's great. Have you found, with it being a brand new program, did you have any concerns about things like board passage rates or things like that?
Yes, I did. But I think what helps is that we also have they have a Midwestern University in Arizona. So what we follow here in Chicago is very similar to what they do in Arizona what's already been established at that Midwestern university. So that kind of gives us some comfort. And I also feel like they've done a really good job so far trying to prep us for boards as far as the time we're allowed for exams. And the exams that we take are in like a testing center where you go in, kind of how when I took the OAT, when you go into a testing center and you're at your own computer, which I know wasn't always a thing in optometry school, because I know a couple of my professors are like, we didn't have that. We took exams, you know, at our desk in a classroom. So even that kind of just gets us a little bit more prepared.
And so, you know, same thing, like a couple of years ago, no, yeah, we took it in a classroom, like old people with like pencils and stuff.
Right.
It's just so amazing the change in the optometry school experience now. So, you know, besides obviously having these testing sites where everything's done more electronically, you also no textbooks, is that right?
Yeah, I mean, there's a few that they recommend, but there's nothing that we that was required to purchase textbook wise. All of our notes are online, and it's been pretty convenient just having like a laptop or an iPad, because then everything's all in one spot. So it's really easy to like search for something if you're like, what was that one thing we learned first year or second quarter? You know, it's just right there.
Yeah, that is incredible, especially when you go to like studying for boards. If there was, you know, something a few years back that you're trying to look up, you can search for it and not dig through like five notebooks. So
yes,
way,
exactly.
Way better.
Yeah, it's very nice and organized.
Have you found a lot of people go to class, or is attending physically class not all that important?
I would say it's pretty important. Most of us do go to class, and we just started having lectures recorded this quarter, I believe. But even with them being recorded, people still go. I think that it just depends on the person. Some people probably prefer not being in the classroom setting, and they just learn better kind of doing it their own way. But so far, without lectures being recorded, it's been pretty crucial to actually show up and be in the classroom.
That's great. Have you felt a big connection with the student body? I know you said, you know, you're from Chicago, so you have obviously friends and family there close by. But do you feel like as a class, you guys have really merged and formed together and do a lot of social events outside of just being in class?
Oh, yes, for sure. We all, I mean, I feel like every one of us, if you had to put two people in one room, we'd all get along really well. There's 63 of us total. So we've all gotten so close, which is cool. And we always do like events at the end of the year, because it is kind of hard to plan those events, because people come the weekend, we're all like exhausted and nobody really wants to do anything besides sleep and, you know, study. So we do try to like plan events ahead of time that we can all attend, which is nice. And we even now have it for the incoming classes so that we can kind of get to know the first years, and now we have second years also. So it's important to us to all like help each other out and grow together.
So, you know, the way I found out about you, Megan, was through your Instagram profile, and you had posted a video where you were talking about how often you were getting asked, like, what's optometry school like? And you decided, like, I'm just going to make a vlog so you guys can watch me share my experience.
Yes.
How did you decide that you wanted to put that out there publicly and be kind of an ambassador for being a student in optometry?
I guess there's like a couple of reasons behind that. I always have enjoyed creating videos. I want to say like the past couple of years I've been making them, and it was nothing really major to show, but it was more so just, it was a fun hobby for me. I like editing and filming, and I thought that would be kind of cool to tie optometry into that, because a lot of my friends and family, all they know about me with optometry school is that I'm studying often and I'm busy. So I was like, it might be kind of cool to at least show them, you know, what I'm doing every day, which is like class and lab and sometimes being in the clinic, which a lot of that I can't film, but I could at least, you know, talk about. And I feel like that's more fun for people to watch than to hear me just say like, you know, I'm busy. I'm sorry. I can't hang out. I'm busy. So I don't know. I just kind of thought it would be a cool idea to try out. And I haven't really seen many optometry day in my life videos, which I know YouTube is huge right now, and day in my life videos are huge, and they're exciting for me to watch, even if it's somebody doing something totally different than optometry, just because you get a glimpse into somebody else's life from a different perspective. So I like watching them and thought it'd be fun to make one.
And you are very talented. One of the reasons I wanted to bring you on the show, in addition to just talking about your experience as a student right now, is you make a really, really sharp, professional-looking video. And I know this is something, as old optometrists or even practice owners, everyone knows the importance of video, how important it is to use that on your social media, but none of us are really very good at it. So I'd love to pick your brain on what technology you're using to make your videos so good.
Oh, thank you so much. I am using, currently, I use Final Cut Pro, which that is an application you have to pay for. So I was waiting and saving up for a while to get that one. Previously, I was using iMovie, which was just, it just comes on your Mac. So that's a free alternative if you don't feel like buying Final Cut Pro. And I also was just recording sometimes with my iPhone or other times with my Lumix G7 camera, which I'm still getting used to using. That was a gift that I received recently. So I'm also that was one of the reasons I made that video, was to make myself understand my camera more.
Like, how long would you say when you're putting your videos together? Because it's not just like you film it and you post it. I mean, you have words overlaying through, you cut scenes together really well. How long does it usually take you to edit a video?
This past video took me probably anywhere from 1 to 3 hours for 3 to 4 days I would work on it, because it's really important when you're making videos to take breaks and step away from it, because you rewatch your own video over and over again that you kind of get bored of it. And then you also, you're just like immune to, if there's any mistakes, you're just not really seeing that anymore. And it's important to like work on it for a little bit and then take a break and look at it the next day. And then you might notice things that you liked before, but maybe aren't that great. And your brain was fried from editing for a few hours. But yeah, it does take some time. So if you want to give it your all, you got to put the time in.
If someone's listening and they're interested in starting to make videos, whether it's for their practice or for their own social media to share what they're doing too, I mean, do you have any tips for how to make the video most impactful with today's viewers? Certain links or certain like editing tactics that you use to make your video really pop?
Sure. Well, first I would say start with like a plan of what you want your video to look like, and film things multiple times and like from different angles. Or if you're filming yourself talking, say things a few different ways, because when you're going through that footage and editing it later, you're going to be way happier if you have a few options, as opposed to if you're watching it and you're like, wow, I really don't like the way that sounds. So definitely kind of make a plan of what you want it to look like, and record things multiple times. And also with editing, just do whatever style you think looks good, because people pick up on what's like natural, and what, if you're just trying to kind of copy somebody else, it's not going to look appealing and you're not going to enjoy it as much. So do what you personally like, and that will shine.
As that next generation of not only optometrists, of course, coming through, but you know, if we're talking about relating to our next generations of patients, do you feel like when you're looking at someone's social media, you're more drawn to if they're providing video content versus just static images, or kind of could go either way for you right now?
I think I'm definitely drawn to more video. Just hearing people's voices and seeing the motion of it is just a little bit more exciting than photos sometimes. And like you said, it's becoming more popular. So it's almost like if you don't have it, you're not up to date, or I just think it's a little bit more personal and like intriguing to watch the videos.
From your putting yourself out there, putting out these day in the life videos, have you had people that are maybe undergraduate students or haven't really thought about optometry as a career before reach out to ask you about your experience?
I did get a few messages and comments just asking kind of like where I'm studying, and the people that were messaging me telling me that they're starting soon and that they appreciate seeing something like this. So I do think it's really cool. That just kind of makes me feel happy. But I also, when I was creating this video, I wanted to make it focused for not just optometry, but also, like I said, like my friends and family. So I wasn't using super technical terms, because it's important to know, you know, your target audience and who you want to be watching your videos. Because if I was just using optometry jargon, my family would be like, this is boring, I don't even know what's going on. So I think also that's another tip, is to just know your audience for when you're creating these videos.
Absolutely. Especially if we're thinking about creating videos for patients, like they're only going to know certain vocabulary and how they're describing their symptoms with their eyes. So that's a great tip.
Yeah.
One other thing that I wanted to ask you about is, you know, your vision for the future. Obviously, you've got to finish up optometry school and there's still plenty of time on your plate with what you decide you want to do with your career. But I mean, what are you leaning towards right now when you're done with school?
You know, I have not fully decided yet. And I'm hoping that once I start my rotations next year, I'll get more of an idea. Because I want to say I'm really interested in contact lens. So I feel like that would be something I will pursue in the future. But I also don't want to limit, I mean, not that it would be limiting myself, but I don't want to close off the box yet. And I'm keeping all my options open and just hoping that once I go on my external rotation sites, you know, I get more insight of what it's like in the real world, because I've really only been working in my own school clinic and seeing how things run there. So I'm excited to see how other people run their practices.
Megan, I knew I was vibing with you. I can't believe you're interested in contact lenses. Like, this is such a, it's an unusual niche for people to be driven to, I think, especially in school, because most of us in school, we don't get a chance to do a lot with contact lenses. But after I started getting out into practice, I realized that's what my passion was too. So I think you're on the right track. It's an exciting field to focus on.
Oh, absolutely. It's challenging for sure in school right now, but there's so much more to it, I think, than people think. So it's been really cool.
Yeah. No, if you're wanting to nerd out, contact lenses is the way to go. You can get super deep dive into things and way, way more so than what it feels like when you're just grabbing a package out of the contact lens room.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Yes.
Well, we are super excited to see what you do next. Can you share your Instagram handle so people can watch this video and follow along with you?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's just at Megan Sales, MEGANSALES.
Thank you so very much for your time.
Yeah, thank you as well. This was awesome.
Okay, it's a wrap. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to hang out with Defocus Media. We hope something resonated with you today. Please subscribe to our podcast and remember, we keep it 2020 around here, pun intended. We look forward to seeing you next time.